The Sundance Film Festival is underway in Park City, Utah. The celebration of cinema includes dozens of marquee movies. One film is by an Iranian-American writer and director who also won the prestigious Audience Award for a previous feature film at Sundance. Maryam Keshavarz joins us now to talk about her latest film, a sweeping family dramedy. It's about three generations of Iranian women, and it bounces across continents and decades to tell the story. It's called The Persian Version. Maryam, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's talk about your film, which I have to say is one of the best movies I think I've ever seen. And it jumps back and forth between the past and present as it tells one family story, which, as I understand it, is your story. The film floats between a few genres. There's drama. It's also funny. There are some fantastic Bollywood-like dance scenes. And I have to say, you could have made this a straight drama. Why right. did you choose not to do that and to infuse it with so much fun?
You know, I really feel like any story about immigrants, any story about Iranians truly needs to have a great dance sequence, a lot of amazing food and music, because that's so much part of our culture. As a kid, I would go back to Iran during the Iran-Iraq War. People still found a way to have joy. In America, through the hard financial times of the 80s with my parents in the 90s, our communities would still get together and find joy and find celebration with each other. And I think it's about resilience as immigrants, as people facing, even in their own home country, facing war and uncertainty. And I think that's so much part of the human spirit. We find a way, no matter what the situation is, to have joy. And even now what's going on in Iran, women are being suppressed and they still find ways to have joy. They cannot extinguish that from the people. Mm. I mean, I was thinking about how do you write an immigrant story? You know, when Trump came into power and we became these villains, right? The Muslim ban meant that my sister-in-law couldn't come back. My cousins couldn't. There was a lot of personal things for me that happened. And I thought, wow, it kind of harkened back to the days of when I was a small kid in the hostage crisis. We were, again, these unknowable people. So I thought, if I'm going to do a story about my community, about my culture, it needs to be authentic. It needs to be rife with, drama and secrets and joy and music. And I was really, really propelled with this idea that comedy was the way to break through all of these political barriers that I felt were coming up time and time again.
Mm. And it also feels like the other thing about telling an immigrant story is that they can be so cliche. And I feel like you totally turned that on its head. And I think, you know, your opening sequence completely speaks to that. So I just want to talk for a minute about that opening scene with girls just want to have fun. Oh my gosh, it's a dance scene set in the family courtyard in Shiraz.
I love those mother-daughter trips to Iran. We brought a little America to Persia.
I mean, I just wanted to be a member of your family there, flinging my body and hair around. It was unbridled joy.
It's such a great feeling. You know, as a kid, I used to like smuggle tapes into Iran because, you know, Western music became banned and it was the 80s.
You didn't just smuggle tapes in. You, as what, like a 7-year-old, stuck them in your pants because you knew that that was the way to get them past officials at the airport, right?
Well, you know, it's a Muslim regime. They're really about protecting the woman's body. So I figured between my legs is probably the safest place to put a little bit of Cyndi Lauper and Michael Jackson.
A little Cyndi Lauper and Michael Jackson smuggled in your pants. You come into the country. So I'm guessing that actually really happened.
I used to smuggle a lot of different things for my cousins. You know, there'd be like a laundry list of what they wanted. So tapes were like I would stick in my undies. Sometimes they wanted magazines I would try to hide in my bag. All different sort of things. And, you know, sometimes I was brave and I would get it through. Sometimes I would freak out like, no, they're going to bust me today. So I'd go break the cassette tapes and flush it down the toilet before I went through the customs control. It was always a question of trying to gauge if I was going to get busted or not. But I just always remember that feeling of when I would emerge from the airport, we would get home and I would pull out those tapes. And it was such a celebration of music. It was such a celebration of family. You know, they love Western music. And, you know, also as a kid in Iran, they loved Bollywood sequences. You know, Bollywood was a huge respite for my family during the Iran-Iraq War. We used to watch the tapes and everything. And of course, all of this stuff is illegal at the time. So I wanted to blend the Bollywood obsession with the American music obsession. And I came up with a Bollywood version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
So great. Okay, let's talk about your mum. I mean, what a woman, or really the mum in the film. She's complex, sometimes cold, but loving and fierce, and literally like a superwoman. So we, the audience, are primed in a way at the beginning to not like her because of the way she shuts out her only daughter for being gay. But as you delve into her own life through stories from the grandmother, we learn what an incredible amount she's been through. So is this character based on your mom and you?
The character of me and my mother are very much based in our lives. My mother's story is pretty much verbatim true. My mom is an incredible woman, and I wanted to start with our conflict, and I wanted to start with this idea that we think we know people. We judge people all the time from an interaction, from a thought that they have. And I think the process of writing the film was a process of me understanding my mother, understanding her history, and coming to a character that everyone loves, but really evaluating her strength. She embodies resilience, you know, and it's something I learned in becoming a filmmaker, in becoming a woman in this very difficult industry. But I didn't really understand until writing the story the position I played in her life and in the position I played in our family's karmic history.
So I have to say, Mariam, one of the things I love about this movie is how it so casually exposes many of the illogical things about America. And it does so using the immigrant gaze. I'm just going to tell you what I mean by that. So in the film, the father needs heart surgery. And despite the fact that he's a doctor and has been in America for decades and treated so many people and cured so many people, his hospital bill is enough to bankrupt the family. And the hospital suggests his wife sell all they have to pay for it. And she's just baffled that they'd have to throw away everything to pay for his heart surgery.
I can see here that he owns his own office.
Okay, so?
Well, consider selling the office.
She was too proud to fail. She was never going back to her home country. So it was success in America or bust.
Sell the office to pay a hospital bill?
Yes.
And then there's this other example where to earn money when the father's income disappears after his heart surgery, the mum trains to be a real estate agent and then starts selling to other immigrants. And a colleague watching her close a deal derides her for selling to an East Asian family.
So, Shireen, you're running a refugee camp here or what?
Third closing this week.
You're doing better than me.
Funny thing about refugees is they love to buy homes.
Okay, so she goes on to close many deals. She's the top-selling employee because she's cornered the market on selling to immigrants, which no one else does. I want you to talk about these pretty subtle yet very deep critiques of the establishment in America from the perspective of immigrants, which is what I feel like your film does over and over.
That's very astute of you. Yes, I mean, the whole issue of medical bills has been a big part of our family. My dad, yes, he treated the poor in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn for his entire life. And yet we faced astronomical costs when he became sick. And even as kids, you know, we didn't have insurance. To go to a doctor, we used to go to my dad's friends. And there was this unspoken rule that doctors didn't charge each other. And it's so emblematic in America. Even those that we count on to heal us are themselves not protected. Those that are such an important parts of our society themselves are so vulnerable. In one illness, you can lose everything. It's a real, you know, issue for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know, we don't often give space for an immigrant critique of how America works. Mm-hmm. Those voices are not often heard.
There is this innovation that happens with immigrants. And I guess that's why America wants and welcomes immigrants on so many levels. They find the way that nobody else can because they have to. And that's the story of my mother. My dad was sick. she couldn't get a regular job. She didn't have any qualifications. She never even finished high school. She couldn't type. But she was smart. She was great at math. And she found this loophole that she could become a real estate agent if she just had a high school diploma. So she got her high school diploma simultaneous to taking her real estate test. And she then enters an industry that she shouldn't succeed in, but she finds a way. Hey, let me target to people that are just like me. What do immigrants want the most in the world? They want to buy a home. They want to have stability. Their whole reason, they've left everything behind. My mother left everything behind herself because they came for a dream. They came for this idea of stability, of home, of literally buying a home. And so my mom tapped into that.
Maryam Keshavarz is a filmmaker, writer, and director of the new feature, The Persian Version. Thank you so much for making this film and for talking with us about it today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great joy.